This is Baja SAE Shop Talk, the official podcast of the Baja SAE series. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's Mike Sorg, the podcast and media producer for the SAE University programs, and I'm back with my trusty co-host Scott Schultz. How you doing, Scott?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Of course, you know that voice, and you probably know that face from the CDS Action News program that we have here every month to get your monthly updates, or in this feed for the audio version. Today we're doing a little bit of a know before you go for Baja SAE California, and I'm excited to get back out to the West Coast. It's been not since 2019.
Wow, 5 years
that we've seen the California Baja. So really, really excited about that. So of course, we do have with us today somebody who's no stranger to Baja in the desert, one of the co-organizer for California, but you may know him from when we did a Know Before You Go or saw his face when you're there, for Baja SAE Arizona. Josh Spivey's back with us.
Yeah, hi Mike, thanks for having me.
And of course, we do have, this is the new face to organization, if I understand right. Chad Baer is joining us, the other co-organizer for this event.
How you doing, Mike?
Good to see you. And really excited about this event coming up. But before we get into the details, I want to know, people to know who's behind this. First, let's start with you, Josh, just as a reminder for people that may be brand new to this. What is your background with Baja organizationally? Were you here as a student? And tell us what you're doing in your day job.
Yes. You know, Baja through and through alum here from the University of Arizona back in the day. But I have organized two events out in Arizona, three if you count the COVID cancellation one. But, you know, had some really good times doing organization there. I've also, involved on the tech inspector side. So this year I volunteered to help Chad get this California fund back up. So really looking forward to our event. I'm in my day job, currently working as a engineer for Raytheon here in Tucson. Enjoying that. So, but definitely looking forward to getting back to Baja.
Is this like 4 years in a row you've been organizing a Baja at this point? Like, you just don't like to have a year off, do you?
I got a reprieve, maybe 6-8 months and then right back at it, it seems. So,
jeez, are you taking next year off? Are you going to take 2025 off and just take a breather and look back at the events you've done? Maybe watch those highlight videos.
No way, Mike. Coming right back to Arizona next year.
Oh boy. Ooh. Oh boy. Well, Chad, it's time to get to know you a little bit. I understand you're the new face and new organizer side of this event. Tell us your background with Baja and what are you doing in the day to day.
So a little bit of background on me. I was in the Navy for 24 years. I grew up, with dirt bikes as a kid. And so I had a, moonlighted job almost the whole time I was in the Navy working at different motorcycle shops, and actually ran a motorcycle business myself. After I retired, I went ahead and used the GI Bill, started at Southwestern College, which is a local community college here, which actually started a Baja team this year. And then I transferred to the University of San Diego, where I did my capstone. With the SAE Baja, that was my capstone project there as a mechanical engineer. And currently I'm in my last semester at Johns Hopkins where I'm getting my master's. So for my day job, I'm a consultant engineer. I do model-based systems engineering. I work for a company based out of Michigan that I was actually introduced to where I did a presentation on our Baja program at USD. At the NCOSI Western States Regional Conference, and that led to my employment.
Out in California, what's the weather going to be like? Sunny, right? Beautiful California?
You know, I've been in San Diego for over 20 years, and the saying has always been, it's sunny and 70 every day. But this last year has been crazy. Since about November, we've been getting rain nonstop. And it's been relatively cold, and it's looking like the potential for that in Gorman. So, I've got the Weather Channel up here, and it looks like we're going to have some, not very warm days, maybe highs in the mid-60s up to possibly 70, but, good chance of rain for several of the days. And the overnight lows are, down into the low 50s.
Okay.
And overnight lows hit pretty quick after the sun goes down, so...
One thing that's interesting, because I realized this going out, I did about an hour drive and realized there's about a 20 degree difference. Obviously, there's not a lot of places to stay near the site in Gorman. and most will be, you know, a good drive away. Is there much of a weather difference between those, the high desert and where people are going to find most of their hotels?
Yeah, I mean, up in the high desert, obviously, you have elevation, and so the temperature drops, you know. And we're at the time of the year where it's still kind of early. If we were doing this in the fall event, it would be, you know, blazing hot and ridiculous. But, yeah, no, I mean, we can look up, like, the weather in Valencia or some of the surrounding areas, and you'll see probably a 5 to 10 degree difference.
Baja students aren't afraid of a little bad weather to get out there and roll around in the mud, so that's not too bad.
That's great. It's part of the challenge. So
yeah,
we're not formula. So yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what they're built for.
What are people going to expect when they get on site? Let's talk about the arrival situation first of all.
So we sent out an event info doc, which is on the SAE.net portal, the BajaSAE.net. There's specific instructions in there for teams, volunteers, and sponsors on how to access the site. So there's two different ways. So if you're just relying on your GPS to get there, and you're not following the doc, you're going to find yourself, you know, causing problems or, you know, getting rerouted, especially if you're a team. And one of the big things, you got, you know, teams, a lot of them are traveling all from all over the country, and they're going to want to get there on site and stage early. And you know, you basically have a small dirt road in and out, whether you're coming from the north or south. And in 2019, we had issues with blocking the road, with people parking on the side of the road. And so trying to mitigate that this year and, you know, get everybody flowing into the site, you know, early without issues. So we've asked the people that are sponsors and volunteers for the event to access the site from the north, which is on Orwin Way, and then people accessing from the south to be the teams, and that would be on Orwin Road. So whether you're coming from the 5 North or the 5 South, doesn't really matter. There's two exits to take, and all that's in the event info doc. And we did that specifically to try and mitigate the issues with access to the site, keep everything free flowing, making sure we don't have, you know, volunteers and sponsors getting jammed up amongst a bunch of teams with trailers and everything, and not being able to get in and get set up. And that's, you know, real critical for the first day, which is where a majority of the teams are going to be, you know, trying to register and get on site.
For the students out there, you can find that document on BajaSAE.net under series resources. Be sure to check it out.
Obviously, other than the setup, getting in there, getting set up, and anything like that, what other considerations? What is the environment going to be like out here? You know, there might be a lot of people that haven't been out to the high desert, the West Coast desert areas, and anything like that. What should the students be kind of preparing for with that?
Well, there's a lot of sand, for sure, and you know. We recently did a site visit, and the area has been impacted quite a bit by rain. So one of the things, the spectator trail that usually, you know, is around the perimeter of the event, there's some pretty, you know, arduous hiking you're going to have to do to access some of the spectator areas. So just kind of want to caution the teams, the students, and the spectators that are going to be attending. If you're accessing that spectator trail, you know, be very cautious, because there is some, you know, it's not a nice flat little hiking trail like it used to be. On one side of the venue it is, but the other side is washed, got a big washout that happened. So that is kind of impacting some of our spectatability. And we're not telling you don't go there. Just be very, very careful. I know animals is always a big concern there too. Rattlesnakes and stuff is always a big deal. This time of the year, you know, it's still cold and rainy. Your likelihood of seeing them is probably low, but, you know, always be cautious while you're hiking on any of the trails in California. If it does get warm, the snakes like to come lay out across the trails, and, you know, they may be taking a little snooze, and you walk up on them, step on them, or get close, startle them, and then next thing you know, we got to actually use the EMTs that we paid for.
Yeah, and we don't want to. And also, we learned one year that bass vibrations tend to attract them, because one of the sponsors had a pretty hefty music situation, and we had started having some issues there. But thankfully, it was out in the middle of the course where nobody was at. So you know, if you're jamming your music, just, you know, just turn that bass down a little bit, probably.
You know, we've got a lot of big teams coming, so we have obviously pit areas for their trailers and their buggies and their pop up setup area, which is, you know, basically is a 25 by 40 setup. But additional vehicles for the team, if you've got one vehicle, we're going to have, you know, place for you to park that. But if you're bringing multiple vehicles, you know, we're going to have parking issues. So carpool as much as possible when bringing vehicles to the site. I think, Josh, you said one of the teams is like 50 people registered. You know, that's like 10 cars just for one team, you know, plus whatever their, you know, truck and trailer situation is. So if we had that for all 50 teams, we basically have, or all 60 teams, we have, you know, no parking for volunteers or spectators. So please, please, please carpool as much as possible every day to the site to minimize the impact to our parking situation. If we do have to resort to overflow parking, it's going to end up being down at Pyramid Lake, which is $15 per car. And we're not paying for that. That's on you guys. So carpool.
Speaking of this, you know, we talk about how remote this is. It's something like, you know, like 30 to 45 minutes from the nearest hotels, probably typically. So what does that do for the food situation that people should be preparing for?
Well, if you didn't fill out your food order, you're on your own for food. I think there's a McDonald's like a few miles away. And then outside of that, there's not much for a good 20, 30 minute drive. And what is there? I mean, there's some smaller restaurants kind of in the town, but the capacity isn't very high. So you imagine we've got 50 plus teams with 15 to 20 students per team, you know, 1,000 people all of a sudden trying to run out and get food is, you know, going to cause issues coming in and out of the site and overwhelm some of the restaurants. So the best bet was teams, you know, did their food orders ahead of time so that way, you know, we could provide it for them. But if they didn't, we don't have the capacity to feed people the day of that decide, hey, I want to buy food now. So hopefully they bring picnic baskets. And even though, you know, the bear is on the state flag, there aren't really any bears in California. You have to worry about eating your picnic baskets.
Are there any limitations, of course, being out in the desert? You know, I remember there was a lot of kind of fire ordinances and things and things with sparks that we had to deal with in previous years. Is that still in effect?
Yes and no. So that's always an issue in California, but because it's been so wet, we're not really in any kind of fire threat right now. But there is no cooking on site. So, you know, you're not bringing a hot plate, barbecue grill, any of that kind of stuff, and you're not going to be able to use that. That's a rule, period, at the event. So, you know, no open fires, no fire pits, no barbecue grills, no hot plates, none of that.
Let's get into dynamics then. What can we expect from the first dynamic day?
I'm really excited for the dynamic events at this. We have lots of new organizers, obviously, as we're bringing back a new set of California people. But this is one of the better sites for dynamic events, really. Have a unique hill climb. It's one of the only Baja events that I know of that brings a hill climb like this. So it's going to be a real challenge, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the four-wheel drive cars handle it, as this will be the first time there'll be four-wheel drive at this location. So, but we've got a nice S&T course planned, maneuverability, and then the endurance course utilizes the motocross track that's at this facility, which is really kind of unique because it utilizes the hills in the area for some more natural, you know, path. So it's going to be a really fun, fast course for the students, but it does get pretty muddy if we do end up getting any rain. Probably none of the students, but I'm sure the volunteers and other people remember 2019, the snow that decided to come Saturday night. And so Sunday for the endurance was nothing but mud. So it made it a little more challenging. Hopefully we won't have that this year, but you never know. Be prepared.
Absolutely. That's such a great endurance course. Let's dig a little bit into each of the dynamics. I know the hill climb, which I believe was dubbed the Himalaya in the past. Is that still intact as we remember it?
Yes, it is in all its glory, ready and waiting for the students.
Yeah, with a few extra features because of all the rain.
Oh, so it's not even going to be the hill climb that I know a lot of students may have turned over since the last one. But if you can see from the last the several years of highlights out there on the video, like I think the first year maybe one car made it over, and then maybe a few more than the second year. So it'll be an interesting to see who's going to conquer the Himalaya this year. Tell us a little bit about S&T is usually pretty radical at this site, if from my recollection.
Yeah, we actually have a a new S&T course, new location at the track, which we have some good obstacles planned for the students. So I'm pretty excited to see how they handle those challenges, but I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Anything about maneuverability we need to touch base on?
Maneuverability is going to test your car as normal, especially with these four-wheel drive cars. It's been impressive how they actually have handled, even though they're four-wheel drive, how they're able to maneuver courses. So this one should be pretty good. We're looking forward to it.
So, of course, you know, outside of the event, you know, a lot of people have not been to California before. Is there anything they should expect from the area or maybe want to do since if they've never been out west before?
Well, I mean, one thing to expect, it's going to drain your wallet. California is expensive. Gas is expensive. So do everything you can to get your fuel before you come into the state, if that's at all possible. You know, local things in the area, of course, we're not far from Six Flags, Magic Mountain. I haven't been there in years, so I have no idea if it's, you know, changed significantly. But, you know, that's always a fun thing to do, roller coasters until you throw up. You know, outside of that, there's really not much. I mean, you're an hour away from LA. There's lots of stuff in LA, like traffic. But
the special feature traffic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the students are going to have a lot of time to be, you know, trying to be tourists, since we do have a pretty packed schedule. There are mandatory, you know, driver meetings and stuff like that. And we have a lot of sponsors that are coming. So there's lots of opportunities for, you know, student interaction with sponsors, and you know, these sponsors that are coming out here, they're looking for interns and future employees, so hopefully there's a good connection there. We've got some, you know, automotive companies are going to be there, going to have some awesome display vehicles, so should be a good time.
Yeah, one note just for teams to remember, California has different speed limits for vehicles with trailers, so don't take note of all those signs and heed them, so nobody ends up with a ticket on the way to or from competition. So,
yeah, for sure, if you're trailering or have three axles, you're 55 mile an hour period on the freeway. So, you know, but you'll see the speed limit for the other cars goes up to 75, but you'll be stuck at 55.
Yep, and be careful. I know the pathways into the West Coast are usually pretty wild going through the mountains there. When you're bringing your car in.
Yeah, especially if we do get weather. I mean, we're climbing up into the hills in this area where this competition is. So it's pretty windy and it's fairly steep in a few parts of that freeway path. So just be aware of your surroundings, you know, want everybody to get there and back safely.
So as past, you know, having experiences you guys have with this competition, you know, do you have any big tips for people coming out here, for the competition, you know, to do the best they can?
Oh yeah. I think, surprisingly, as mild as the course looks, if anybody's Googled it, it will beat up your car. There was, quite a few breakages I remember from, 2019, but that's at any Baja event, right? You know, you never know what you're going to come across, but just as far as the event itself, I think if everybody just, you know, listens, stays on the right side of the fence and the spectator areas, everybody's going to have a good time. There's probably going to be some wind. The wind likes to whip through this valley a little bit. So bring some, you know, be prepared for that. And I always like to say, you know, in Arizona, I'm always heeding caution. Everybody drink water because it's hot, right? You know, wear sunscreen. Even though it might be cooler at this event, that still reigns true. You know, make sure everybody's staying hydrated, especially if you're volunteering out there on the course, you know, on Sunday or maybe even Saturday. Stay hydrated and, you know, bring appropriate clothes, you know, for any weather that may attend. And I think all the teams are going to have a really good time. The organizers have worked hard to make this a fun event, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, one thing I want to address too, Josh, you mentioned the winds, and you know, all these teams that are coming, they usually have their trailer and then they have canopies out the back. Make sure you have weights or stakes for your canopies, and I don't mean the little, you know, small silver ones that come from when you buy them at Walmart. You need to actually have some heavy duty stakes to put them into the ground, because the wind will pick those things up and they're going to go flying. They're going to break. They're going to crash into something and, you know, cause issues. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're setting your canopies up and everything, that you've got those things staked down really good.
And I think there is also a note that this is a, if I'm going to recall, I'm sure it hasn't changed too much. This is probably a limited cell service area for most providers. I feel like AT&T may have been the strongest one there when we were there last. I'm sure that not much has changed with that. So, you know, be ready for that. Be ready to maybe not have a communications as solid when you go out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I believe it is a little better than it was in 2019, but definitely you're not having five bars of 5G.
No. Area. I know we are looking at satellite options ourselves for our operations. So, but hey, more options than 2019 at least, right? So, excellent. Any last notes here before we let you guys go?
I think the only thing I just want to say is I just want to say a thank you to all the students who signed up to come. I know a lot of you guys are traveling from the East Coast. It's a long drive out to the West Coast, but I promise you, you know, you won't be disappointed. This is a great course. And I want to thank all of the great sponsors. You know, obviously, you know, we were able to provide some pretty good food options and do some fun stuff for this event. And that's all thanks to the sponsors. So when you guys are there, just remember, thank them. Try to get a job like Chad did, you know, direct result of Baja. This stuff happens. So, but yeah, just always want to throw a shout out to those sponsors, because we could not do it without them. It takes a lot of money to put these kind of events on.
Yeah, and that said too, I mean, all of us organizers are volunteers. So I want a big shout out to all the organizers that are taking the time and effort to make this stuff happen. You know, Josh is Arizona organizer, and he's coming out to California to help out, which that's a huge time commitment from him. You know, a huge time commitment from all of our organizers to make this happen. We've been planning over the last, you know, eight to 10 months or so to get this on. So, you know, I want to thank them for all their hard work and dedication.
Absolutely. And remember, all of those volunteers are from the industry. So you never know who you could be talking to and from where as you're are going about from day to day here, and the people helping out. So strike up a conversation, you know, definitely help. Make some friends while you're out here, right? amongst the volunteers, amongst the students, you know, it's always really cool to see the camaraderie that happens even in a competitive nature like this.
I'd like to give a little note to these students listening to print your Fast Track roster and have your whole team sign it before coming to registration on site. I doubt there'll be a printer there for you to use, and it needs to be printed, so print it out.
That's a long drive to get to a Staples, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
And, hey, that sounds like somebody who's fresh off of running a registration table recently.
Yep.
Of course, you know, please make sure you've downloaded the Baja SAE app so you get all the updates. Check your news feed over on BajaSAE.net, including the resources that we talked about here on this show. And if you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and the social media for SAE University programs so you can see, one, Scott's face as we're doing updates about what's going on in Baja and all the other competitions that the news that you can use, if you will, with CDS Action News there as we go through the season. The next update will be coming, unfortunately, right after this Baja, but if you're going to several events, that will be beneficial for you. And really just know what's going on going into the next season as well. Thank you, Chad and Josh, for joining us. And we'll see all you guys out there at California, out in Gorman. And until next time, stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to Baja SAE Shop Talk. As always, we want to hear from you. So email BajaSAE@SAE.org. The show notes for this episode, as well as all others, can be found at www.BajaSAE.net/podcast. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next episode.